Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you for joining us today. Joining me in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Chomp, chomp.
Steven Rue.
What in the...
Okay.
It's more I don't get it either, but he keeps doing the chomp thing.
I'll roll with it.
We got a little bit different episode today, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll stay tuned with us. Basically, what we're going to do is answer all the fan questions. I put a call out on Twitter and on the Fireteam Chat Twitter, and I collected a bunch of the responses. So we're going to get right into it at the top of the show. The first question, it's on all of our minds.
Oh, no.
Or it has been.
What
because we're playing a lot of Battle Royales.
Oh.
From Kurash, if Bungie made a Battle Royale-style experience within the Destiny universe, what do you think it would look like? Big if I know. How would it distinguish itself from the others? What would it need to interest you? Love the show. Hashtag Quiver King.
Oh, God.
Destiny Legends. Yeah, the Quiver King.
Oh,
yeah. We've been playing a ton of Apex Legends. We love Apex Legends. Yeah, definitely enjoying it. So if Destiny were to enter that universe, that genre, how would they make it work? Sean Finnegan.
So I don't know that Destiny works in a large-scale map. So my instinct, and this could just be totally wrong, like this is one of those things where like if I was a dev, you'd be like, let's try this, and it might get shot down because it's terrible. But
preface that Apex Legends just launched like a few days ago. Literally just dropped.
Yeah.
It dropped, okay? Like you gotta give some context to that, what's happening this weekend in the office.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Why people
People are asking about Battle Royales because Apex Legends launched and it's awesome.
Drops.
Dropped, whatever, why does it matter?
Like a Titan.
It's a Titanfall, yeah.
Okay.
It's not real.
Okay. But it's awesome, we're all playing it. It's literally the only thing I want to play right now.
Yep.
I think it's so good, and I'm not a big BR guy. Like, I don't like Fortnite. I liked PUBG a lot and played a lot of that, but I thought it was pretty slow and a little janky, especially on Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, God. You played on Xbox, I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. And then people couldn't convince me to try Blackout because I just don't really like Call of Duty, and I haven't played one since Modern Warfare 2. But anyway, we've been playing a lot of Apex Legends, and there's a lot of talk about it in the industry right now because within its first 3 days, 10 million players have played it, over a million concurrents. It's a huge hit. Mm-hmm. Huge, like, unequivocal hit that everyone loves.
And
so that's why
we
we're
have
talking
this
about
question,
yeah.
And that's why Kurash sent it in. Also, maybe I should redo my intro. Welcome to Apex Chat. Our legendary show.
That was pretty good, Destiny.
Yeah. So with Destiny, though, I think my instinct, and this might be wrong, is to make it smaller. Like,
really?
Yeah. Instead of making it open, because you remember what was that big moon map in Destiny 1 that had
First
vehicles
Light.
And stuff?
Yeah.
First Light. Everyone hated that map. And no one really played
it. I liked it in the alpha beta.
And then they removed it.
The tanks were
But they removed it from the rotation because it sucked. And so I don't know that Destiny can actually work.
Yeah.
I just don't know it can work in a big context. So my instinct is to make a small map and make it like 16-player FFA Rumble style, but the same idea. Like you jump in, no weapons, like, and then it's a survival mode. That's kind of what I think.
I have an idea.
Okay, that's interesting.
Why is he wrong? How did they do it better?
Why is he wrong? Well, he's not wrong. But my idea for Destiny Battle Royale is it's similar to Apex Legends.
It's
three-man squads because there's three classes in Destiny. Mm-hmm. Hunter, Titan, Warlock. And you're not a subclass. You're just a Hunter, Titan, Warlock. You're going to spawn with nothing. You pick up weapons, and the weapons, like the base gun is the same, except you can pick up perks like Luck in the Chamber, Outlaw,
nice
stuff like that. You can attach it to your gun. And then there's power-ups, like elemental power-ups. So if you pick up and – if you find and pick up like – a solar power up and you're a Titan Warlock or Hunter, you're automatically the Sora subclass and you have all those abilities. But to get your super, you have to kill people. It's not like a regen over time thing. So you can't camp for your super. So like you have to get four kills to get your super. Something like that. I think that would be sick.
That would be really cool.
That sounds really, really
cool. Steven is all about incentivizing people to fight each other in this game.
Steven, yeah, Steven, Mr. Ape, go in for the kill always.
That's awesome.
Well, dude, in Destiny 1, don't you remember hide in the back with triple Stormcaller and get your super
That's dumb.
So that's what about you, CJ? That's funny that you say that, because I think that Gambit was kind of the hybrid thing that maybe they would want to do for it and include some of the PvE aspects in it. So imagine if we'll use Apex Legends as a framework, but I like what you were saying, and then you add on the fact that there's PvE things in the space that can kill.
Like,
I'm just calculating how many times we've said Apex Legends in the 4 minutes.
Well, I know.
But it fits so perfectly because there's three subclasses.
Exactly. And it does work. So I think, I think when you think of what Bungie's capable of doing, that space and how many players, like Escalation Protocol was really cool because of the amount of players you could have in that environment, you know, killing those ads and everything else like that. But if you had a little bit of that BR flavor with, you know, some creatures in there that incentivize you to kill for your super and all the rest of things.
Well, no, so they have a bunch of like yellow bar elites that you can kill, like a bunch of them.
And they would drop loot an exotic or something like that.
They would drop an exotic.
Yeah, so I think there's so would we want a Destiny Battle Royale? We all said no on this show about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, or maybe even a month ago. And now that Apex Legends has done it so right, look at Steven over there going like.
The movement in Apex Legends is similar to Destiny in a way. It's fast. It's really fast paced.
Yeah.
And I said this to Sean right before we came in. If you look at who Bungie's true competition was, and we flash all the way back to, you said Modern Warfare 2. That was an Infinity Ward game. Really, Modern Warfare 4 was the game that like not dethroned Bungie, but Halo 3 was like, it was the game. That was the only game that came out at the time that challenged Halo 3, and they created their own path.
Mm-hmm.
Now Apex Legends is out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, the time to kill would have to be a lot longer than.
I was going to say, like, so I thought you were going to lead up to like, so do we want a Destiny BR? And I was going to say still no for me. To me, Destiny isn't a BR, and I don't think it lends well to the BR sort of gameplay and style of play. Like
as we know today, though. So that's what I'm saying. Like for what we know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Bungie is an incredible developer. They may very well develop one and then surprise the hell out of me.
Absolutely.
And then I'll take it back.
Yeah.
But until that, I can't really see in my head how a Destiny BR would fit in the space.
I'll just say, like, I didn't think it would work either until Steven described how it would work. They reduced the amount of weapons because they have, only several sort of weapon archetypes.
Yeah.
And you could find those in the world. And the only way that they become unique is through the attachments to the weapon. I think that's a really, really smart way to handle a game like Destiny. Mm-hmm. You spawn in nothing. I don't know if supers would be able to work in a battle royale.
But, like, even the supers, so well the double jump, like the class ability, like, there's all sorts of elements that I really don't see fitting into a battle royale, like at least that we know.
I'm talking the traditional Destiny supers that we have now.
Right.
There's just too much
it
ammo.
It would definitely have to be tweaked. Like you couldn't one shot someone with a golden gun. It'd have to be like two or something. I don't know. Like,
Also, like Destiny's strength is that it's so fun to run, jump, shoot, and like fight. So in my head, it's like that's why I would want it to be small sided. Is like I would want to lean into that so that the moment you jump in, you're fighting all the way through the middle of the game and then all the way to the end. Like, you never stop. It's always, like, a constant. Like, I'm thinking, like, 5-minute long matches at the most.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, super intense, like, really quick. Like, you jump in, you die immediately, or you make it to the end. And to make it to the end, you have to be really fast, really skilled. And it's more like in my head, it's actually more like Unreal Tournament or something, you know, like with those old 1v1, like Quake 3 and stuff.
Well, you know how, like, I'm just imagining right now, because we're talking about it, you know how much people like to revive sniping in Trials and Destiny 1?
Can
you imagine that in Battle Royale? That would be cool.
Oh, my God.
So we need to move on. That's what I wanted to say. This feeling of Apex Legends is the closest to Trials that I've felt in the past probably 3 years since Destiny 1 Trials. And it is that moment of, and Sean and I played a couple that were at the last moment. We're using our abilities and we're using our supers and our smoke and we're flying.
You're in a three-man squad.
You're in a three-man squad.
No margin for error.
You can bring back your teammates.
You can revive. You're playing for the unlimited revive if somebody goes down. And Trials and Countdown and D2 kind of broke a lot of those things that we enjoyed from that. So, I know we got to move on, but, Kurosh, definitely, the Quiver King. I appreciate the shout out. But, I think that these are things for sure that, I think
so
Destiny
hard.
Could do really good. And it'd be interesting to see if they're actually prototyping something like that in the background.
Yeah. Next up, we got a broken drumstick who asked if you could bring back one raid set from the original Destiny, which set would you choose Vault of Glass. Yeah. No contest. Anybody have a different set?
I do.
Vault of Glass.
Yeah, because you could add ornamentation.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Titan armor from Vault of Glass didn't look that cool. The Kaber armor.
What? The Titan?
It has like
no. It looks weird. It's all uneven. I agree with Sean. Symmetrical stuff.
I agree with Sean. I did not
when there's
like
random pieces like that's on one shoulder but not on the other, I don't like that.
I didn't like the Hunter armor for Vault of Glass.
All right.
I love the Warlock and I love the Titan.
What would you guys say instead?
Mine is definitely, okay, it's two. It's either the Trials armor with the ornamentation.
No, D1, Raid, Raid.
D1, Raid.
Oh, it says D1, Raid? Okay, cool. Never mind then. Wrath of the Machine, for sure. All of the SIVA stuff I thought looked so awesome.
Yeah. You love triangles.
Well, it just looks awesome, man. Like, it's all machine-like. Yeah.
I didn't like the war. I know you're not a Warlock, but the Warlock SIVA set looked weird.
So wasn't it like a rectangle for a face, basically?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
I don't play a Warlock, so I don't remember what it looks like, but the Titan armor was awesome. It was huge, and it was big and square and, like, triangular, like, really angled, like, sharp edges and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, it pulsed with these really cool colors. Like, I just thought it was really cool.
Dude, the Crota set for me. Easy.
The thing about the Hive sets, though, is, like, you got a lot of Hive gear.
Like, yeah.
Weird. Like, it did look cool.
Dude.
But you got a lot of Hive stuff.
You had the Warlock
in that,
like, Sauron helmet.
Yeah, that was
you cool. had, like, the Knight Titan helmet.
The Titan ornamentation helmet with the giant, like,
yeah, the
light
giant
up, like,
jagged
huge. Yeah,
that was great for PvP. Was,
yeah. I'm right here. Look at me.
Exactly.
Dude.
For me,
it's gotta be Crota.
You're like hiding behind a pillar and they could see your head. It's like,
I really liked, it's not a raid set. I'm going to cheat a little bit,
you made me pick a raid set.
I already picked my raid set, Vault of Glass. Okay, so I'm just going to say I did like one of the effects where, I don't remember which set it was. It was like the, Iron Relic or something like that, where you could have fire effects added.
That was the Rise of Iron.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Those were pretty cool. And they never really revisited that in Destiny 2. I think Hall of Fire Heart has it, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think I took my Hunter Cloak off almost like all year one when I got it in VOG. And
the one with the wolf head?
No, that was Iron Banner, the early one. It's just that it was just a really long flowing cloak from Vault. But then I think, to go off Destin's, the trial stuff, I think probably the Sphinx,
the Warlock one was awesome.
Looked
dude,
the best.
Yes.
All the trials.
Absolutely.
All of them.
I grinded for that helmet because it looks
really
so cool.
All of them were awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So here's a little bit of a spicy one from Nikki41X. He says, what would it take for you to quit Destiny forever? What line would they have to cross? Would it have to be a different game that scratches the same itch? To quit Destiny forever, that would have to be pretty drastic. But for me, easy. Innovation. If they don't keep pushing innovation like they have continued, I think that would eventually wear on everybody and people would just eventually venture to other games. But I think Destiny has a strong future going ahead and Bungie has been known to innovate. So I'm not too concerned about that.
Yep.
What about you guys?
I don't have time to explain. You're a diehard. No, I think I am a diehard. I've been playing, like, everybody talks about the PvE content, quote, quote, or lack thereof. I've literally been playing a Bungie-related game since, like, Halo 1 came out every day for the last 16 years. So, and those were only PvP. So I don't really need a whole lot. The shooting, the feeling, the mechanics are what I'm in it for. PvE content, like I've said in the past, it's kind of a bonus for me.
Yeah. Sean, you got an answer?
I'm on the same page as you. Like, it would take something really drastic because, like, I haven't played Halo in, like, a year, but I haven't quit Halo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll always
Halo Infinite around the corner.
Yeah, like, I'll probably always be coming back when there's something new. But I think, for me, if they ignored or refused to go further with, like, the story and building the world out, because I like the PvE elements and I like progression in those ways, like, learning more about the characters in the raid and what we're even doing in this world. If they just didn't do that and it became, like, an entirely PvE game only or a BR, I would not be interested. And then similarly, like, I could throw out a bunch of, you know, if they started charging, like if everything was locked behind a paywall, like it's all, everything now happens through Eververse. That would make me quit. But I mean, those are unrealistic.
Hypothetical.
You know?
I mean, we talked about those subscription fee. That's interesting. Would you not maybe play Destiny on a monthly basis if it was a subscription fee?
Oh, actually, that's a really good question. If Bungie charged $10 a month to play Destiny,
I would have not renewed my subscription in February.
Tell you that. I would be much more hyper-focused the way, like, World of Warcraft people are on what the content is, when it's coming, and how robust it is. Like, I'd expect a PTR. I would expect, like, a new strike. Because in World of Warcraft's players' minds, the subscription that you pay, it pays for content to be developed, like new content, not recycled content. So I don't want old raids. I don't want old armor. I don't want old weapons. I want all new stuff. And like, if they don't deliver on that, then yeah, I would not have this. I wouldn't pay for the subscription.
Okay. To answer this question, I would never quit Destiny. I'm a fan of the Destiny world itself, the universe itself.
Yeah.
Love the PvE, love the PvE. You can harp on like their quest design and stuff like that. But in the end, when you're doing those things, it's fun. Like, mm-hmm. it might not have that replayability, but I can't see myself ever quitting Destiny. On the subscription thing, that would never happen because it's on console. You can't have a subscription feed-based game on console because they already have a
Final Fantasy 14 did it.
On console?
Yep.
Yeah. But did you're they? Right. They're, so you pay for Xbox
Live. You pay in addition to?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
And it worked?
How did that work out?
How much
One
was
of the
it?
Most popular games. It's like $14.99 or something like that.
A wow. month?
Wow.
I don't remember exact numbers, but yeah, it's about
Is that
traditional
an MMO?
Subscription fee. It is.
Did it have a base fee too? Like you had to buy it, then you have
to
pay.
Yeah, it's like a $60
game,
right?
I believe you bought the game, which you have to with like Final Fantasy 14 on PC or console, and then you pay the monthly subscription fee.
Right. And you pay Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus.
I believe for all online games, that's required.
Yeah.
But I don't quote me on that. I will look it up on my phone while they discuss.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I know for Apex.
I don't know anything about that.
Because I don't know if Apex Legends.
To your point,
it does require Xbox Live.
What about PlayStation Plus?
I assume the way the services are tied together to play online games, you need that subscription.
Because I wasn't 100% sure on that.
I don't know about that, but Bungie, dude, they're not.
But to your point, yeah, it wouldn't happen.
You're paying $60 a year for Live or PSN, right? And then you have to pay another, what, $5, $10, $15 to play Destiny. They know that would be shooting themselves in the foot. They would never do something like that.
Although, I will say it's
PlayStation
probably
Plus
on the
is
table.
Not required for Final Fantasy 14. Same applies to certain other multiplayer games such as Blacklight, Retribution, Warframe, and Neverwinter. You do not need PlayStation Plus to play 14.
But,
well, there we go.
All right.
Thank you for asking that question.
Internet.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to worry about a subscription fee.
No. I don't think anyone has to. But like, I do think that if they did and the content didn't deliver, then that would cause me to quit.
This makes
it would make me more apt to watch reviews before
definitely.
I bought.
Yeah, and I think Apex Legends introduces an interesting thing, even when we compare it to Call of Duty. Like Call of Duty is another game where they're charging like the main price tag, and then they're creating DLCs and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, it's going to be hard to create that model going forward when you have this game that potentially could do really, really well financially when there's 10 million players out there.
You know what got me to quit playing Destiny? Destiny 2. You know what got me to quit playing Destiny 2? Probably Destiny 3.
Yeah,
you know? So like no, how often do you go back to Destiny 1? Maybe once in a while.
Actually, CJ has told this story a lot. He plays Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Because I literally, so
well, especially early in Destiny 2, you played a lot of Destiny 1 because it was a little wonky.
If they hadn't have canceled Trials, I said that I would probably still play Trials every weekend just because. Now, when we talked about it last week on the show, people were saying in the comments, oh, you guys all play on PC, some should play on PlayStation 4. Shout out to Wulan. I actually jumped on PlayStation 4 on Destiny 2 and played for a few days. PvP, a little bit of the quests. And yeah, it does feel different. It's hard to go back there. But if you don't know what PC is, and Sean, you were playing on Xbox for
about like 1,000 hours.
You don't realize that the things that we're talking about don't exist on
that's
the console.
True.
So I will say that the console infrastructure is very different, and there's a lot of people playing. It's very active. There's people there. But
I love Destiny 1. I never played Destiny 1 again after Destiny 2 launch.
Same.
My last game was a flawless run with CJ, and I told him right then and there, I'm uninstalling this game. I'm retiring from this game. I want my last game of Destiny 1 to be that flawless run. Never turned it on again.
That's nice. Cool.
That's a good way to go out.
And I try to badger him every day to play.
Won't work.
So last week we teased that Paris sent in a question, and I think this is a good jumping off point. I'm just going to read it here really quick. Should Joker's Wild intro a Trials-type competitive mode for Gambit? And if Destiny 3 is fall 2020, would a second annual pass be enough to keep you satisfied, or do we need another Forsaken-sized expansion in September? And a lot of people asked a question in the same vein about what Bungie and the Destiny team has planned for September. So what do you guys think? If we get another annual pass in September, do you think that's going to keep you coming back, or do you think they need something like a Forsaken for September?
I mean, we were talking about, so we say Forsaken, but now when we think about what they did last time with Destiny 1, Rise of Iron wasn't as big as Taken King.
Yeah.
I think that it would be good to have some kind of annual drop that was still fairly substantial, that had a bunch of quests and that kind of stuff into it, versus this slow trickle out that they're doing. Mm-hmm. I think it brings a very large set of people back. But, I mean, again, Curse of Osiris and Warmind, felt like not big enough. So I don't know how you strike that balance. I can appreciate what they're doing now, but you know, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that that's working?
I had a lot of criticisms with the content drops, House of Wolves and like Warmind and Curse of Osiris, but those could have been improved.
Yeah.
Like just the storytelling just wasn't quite there. And there was some quest structure stuff and like taking the strikes out of the story and just putting them in. It's a really interesting challenge, but I much preferred that over the annual pass cycle, because the annual pass cycle has kind of stripped away my incentivization story-wise to chase anything or to set up the big bad.
But that was only like for an hour and a half to 2 hours in those campaigns anyways,
but
right?
It set up the like Taken King, that was a big drop, so I won't use that as an example.
Yeah.
House of Wolves, it set up Skolas as the villain and why you care about that.
Yeah.
But none of that happened in Black Armory, for example. There is no big bad.
No,
just
that's true.
The balls at the thing.
But
and not learn anything about Ada unless you read it online.
Yeah, Ada 1 is the big bad.
Yeah, but I think like looking back, like Trials was looked at as a positive thing only because of the reception of it. If House of Wolves didn't have Trials, really, what was there?
Nothing.
There was kind of nothing, right? And that's a little bit about what Black Armory feels like. So, I mean, do I wish there was a weekend Trials type thing for Gambit? Yes. Do I wish that there was the Trials, just regular Trials from D1 back? Yes. If those things came back and people liked them a lot, like the way people are enjoying Apex, I think the story stuff is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah. So what do you think they would need in September then? That's the crux of the question.
Yeah. I mean, so basically, yeah, I do think that they need something like Forsaken that has some kind of substantial quest, but I think it needs to be a hybrid of what they're doing now. And I think if they had have released each of these, you know, what we're calling, I guess, I hate the word drip feed. It doesn't make sense. But if they have a little bit of story up front and then there's a bunch of things that tie into that initial story, that'd be good. But I don't think it needs to be like a campaign like Forsaken was or the way that Destiny 2 was. You only play those once and you never go back to them again. So I get why they're not doing that. But I think they need some kind of storyline. Because we talked about the last word. There was no cutscene. There was no, you know, setup or exposition. It'd be nice if there was some of that. It doesn't need to be massive cinematics. It could just be like dialogue.
I'd say the most interesting and compelling thing that has happened with Black Armory or the content before that are the story beats. People continually talk about Ada 1 on Reddit because it's an interesting story beat that kind of gives you the hook to continue playing Destiny. Mm-hmm. Or I can't think of the last content drop, but there's always interesting narrative pieces, even in the last work.
Still
class.
To this day, the Queen.
Yeah, the Queen. What's going on with the Queen? That was the other
one. That's the stuff that interests me. Like,
but it's buried in there.
You mentioned it, like a hybrid, right? Yeah. I think that's the right approach. It's like, why not both, right?
Yeah.
It can both be drip-fed content week after week that kind of continually engages your most hardcore fans to come back and do stuff on a regular basis. But then to entice players to come back or to get them like hooked into that cycle, you need a bigger, more robust, maybe potentially story-driven campaign-like thing that fleshes out a new part of the universe.
Yeah.
Like if you could do both, that would actually really entice me, because now that we've gotten through Black Armory, I do think it's a little light. Like right up until the last Forge and the last Word quest, I was on the out. Like I was very engaged right up until that point, and then it started to taper off, and then you had Apex Legends drop and stuff, and now I haven't really played the last like 2 weeks. But if it could do both of those things, then I think you're in a good spot.
Yep.
Definitely. Any thoughts, Steven?
No, I agree with both you guys. But I do, to answer Paris's first part of the question, should Joker's Wild intro a trials type competitive mode for Gambit? Yeah, I would love that. I would love
What is that though?
Well, it's like you win five games and you go to
a reward system tied to
You win
victories.
Five games and then there's exclusive armor or weapons. Okay. And then
it's hard for me to wrap my head. When people say trials, I think elimination, competitive. Right. Like,
I think he's just talking about the win format, the format.
Okay.
But I would also like to see, as you get further into the card, it's not the exact same Gambit game every time. It'd be cool if like the enemies become harder every game
that
for
near
both
four
teams.
And five. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Or meatball spawns like in the fourth and fifth game,
like random stuff.
Like that.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, you got to. Oh, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like the House of Wolves, Prison of Elders.
I mean, what I was going to say is, instead of a trials based win format thing, because Gambit games are already long, and like I can imagine if you had to win nine, or not even nine, if they made it five, that's still lot of matches in a row.
Yeah,
Why don't they have Prison of Elders?
You don't have to do it at one sitting, though.
But I still think that would be weird, right? Like, I think it'd be cooler if it wasn't a trials type competitive mode for Gambit, but horde, like a Prison of Elders thing, like wave-based survive as long as you can type
why,
thing.
Why did they get rid of that, man? They had that in Halo Reach. They brought it back in Destiny 1, and it was...
I was stoked on House of Wolves because I thought it was going to be unlimited. It turns out it was the only five waves. But that was cool because you had a really cool boss fight at the end. But like...
Skolas.
Yeah, like Halo 3, when they introduced Firefight with ODST. And yeah, like that same year or right after that or right before that, Gears did it. And like those were so much fun and they were brand new for the time. Like it boggles my mind that Destiny doesn't have something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Bring Firefight back. Pretty insane.
This next
Firefight
question,
you go down and... right over.
This next question is right up my alley. It's from Mr. Woodhouse. Thank you, Reddit, for sending this in. He says, what is the one unique weapon from another franchise that you would love to see John Hamrick and crew use for inspiration on a new exotic? Cerebral Boar, baby. That little bug that hits you in the head and drills out your brain. Let's bring some gore to death.
You have crazy ideas. That's
so
cool.
I did a series called The Armory for ScrewAttack back in the day. And right away, I went to my list of weapons that I added to The Armory and went through some of my favorites.
Rated R.
I would love something like dogs or some sort of animal type exotic that you could stick on your enemies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so, like the Call of Duty dogs that go out and
like,
take
I got it for you, Destiny. It's just a whistle. You blow it and like wolves come out and they like attack.
Oh, there you go. There
you go. Something like
an
that.
An exotic whistle.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything on your
I mind? Do actually. I thought about this a lot. I think a lot about the coolest ships and coolest weapons in the game. I'm a real big nerd about that. For me, I would introduce like a, you guys play Half-Life?
Half-Life 2? I've heard of this game.
Yeah.
Kind of a good one. Yeah. The gravity gun. I would love an exotic weapon that, either when you left click or
it's the tractor cannon.
No, I know. I knew you were going to say that, but not tractor cannon because in this one, like it doesn't fire anything. It can only push or pull, like you left click to pull or right click to push. And it's more like a tractor beam. Like it'll pull someone in over time, but it doesn't fire any projectiles. So once they get there, if you pull them into you, you have to like punch them or something or switch to a shotgun. I think that would be cool. Like if you like lock onto someone, you could like pull them out from cover. I think that would be awesome.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah. You got any ideas, Steven?
I got one if you need a second, and it kind of
go
sure. For it. It's a little bit off Apex, but it's also I thought you were going with this Portal 2. I think
a portal gun,
would be amazing, and the character, the legend Wraith, has
that would
this
be a nightmare to balance.
It would be a nightmare to balance, but I think what's cool that like at least with Wraith, when you go there, it activates the portal where you use it. But if you had a portal gun where you could potentially like shoot something across the way and then like shoot something next to you and go to that location, then like fly through and then like get the jump on somebody. That would be crazy.
That would be awesome. I have another idea. You guys play Perfect Dark?
Yes.
There's a gun called the Farsight.
What if
there was an exotic sniper rifle, that let's call it, you only have three bullets, but you can shoot through walls. Like, you can see, like, the Farsight, if you didn't play Perfect Dark.
Destiny 1 armor piercing.
I'm dating myself here because what year was that? That was like 98, right? 98 or 99 when that game came out, so I'm really old. But this is a gun that, it's a sniper rifle that allowed you to see through walls and shoot through walls. Yeah. So it was really OP, but that would be super fun. But like, the way you would balance it in Destiny is like maybe you get like one bullet.
Yeah.
To sort of your idea, something like the Just Cause, what is it? He uses like a rope? Or
it's like a grappling hook.
It's like a grappling hook
where you could like attach him to something that's moving and then they go fly down into the sky.
Yeah.
That would be really good. Yeah. And it sort of gets that fun gameplay reward as tractor cannon, you know, like just something crazy happens when you shoot it.
I don't know if you've thought of yours yet. Pathfinder, do you know if you can do this? Can you use his grapple ability to pull enemies close to you?
They showed it in a trailer.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember because I haven't used it, but that was something you could do in Titanfall 2.
Pathfinder is an Apex character.
Just a side note, CJ's killing it on the Apex Legends tab.
Yeah, sorry. Crushing it. You're outdoing me on World of Warcraft.
I can't think of like a specific iconic weapon, but I always wanted them to improve swordplay in Destiny.
True.
I think limiting it to heavy kind of sucks. It would have been cool if we could get like a secondary sword or primary sword that obviously wouldn't one-shot someone, but it would be cool if you could make a build where you are just sword.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Melee with more like animations too, instead of just the Like the lunge the and the uppercut.
I'm like overflowing with ideas right now. You guys play Devil May Cry?
Yes.
Yeah. Give me Dante's pistols, Ebony and Ivory.
Oh,
like
yeah.
double hand cannon,
Some
last
sort
word.
Of
like,
dual wheel.
They got like double gunslinger. It's like double last words. That would be awesome.
Make that again.
There's no dual wheeled weapon in Destiny.
No, that's why it would be cool if you had both pistols.
There's not. Yeah, there's not.
That would be
I guess when you super with Hunter Blade, you get two, I guess.
But if, I mean, it feels like they kind of already did that with Halo. They dropped that in every subsequent one after almost because it was just like the balance.
Oh, now I'm thinking about Halo weapons.
Two machine guns. You hold one in each hand. You shoot them both.
All right, next question.
I'm not done. Some sort of melee weapon like fiber wire in
like
the Hitman series I think would be really neat. No, like a close quarters thing where you could trigger like an animation if you strangle somebody or something like that.
I got it. Yeah. So in Counter-Strike.
No, we're not talking Destiny,
what are we
though?
Talking about?
In Counter-Strike, there's a taser. It's like a little sort of, it's like, it looks like a gun, but it shoots an electric
Siphon
bolt.
Filter had that too.
It's a one hit kill, but only at melee range, which in Counter-Strike is basically what people do is like, they hide behind a door and wait for someone to walk through and they just zap. Like, it's really embarrassing if you get zapped, but like, it would be really
never,
cool.
It would never work in Destiny.
It's the disrespect.
Just walk up and like tase someone.
Yeah, it never work in Destiny.
And then the Soul Reaver sword. Just put that in the game. One of my favorite games. All right. Next question. What do we got here? I had one lined up. All right. Richard Summers wrote in, should pinnacle PvP weapons be banned from quick play once you have one of these weapons? You have no reason to change, meaning you are unable to stomp in quick play. Players avoid quick play for potentially that reason. That's his thoughts. I think there's a case to be made for a mode where certain weapons aren't in it.
I was going to say,
okay.
I was going to say, if you were to try and create a level playing field in a mode, the place to do it would not be quick play. It would be competitive.
Like, yeah,
I would. That's where I would ban the weapons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like one,
but I see what he's saying because the issue is you have to play competitive right now to get that weapon, and the people that are not playing competitive probably feel like it's not fair that they're getting smashed by this thing that they're A, can't get, and B, that they're not in trying to get in that other game mode.
Oh, I got my year one better doubles.
Okay, hold
that
on.
Was really
let's back
good,
up
right?
a bit.
I know. Yeah.
They can get it. They don't want to get it.
No, they do want to get it.
Okay, if they did, then they would be in competitive grinding it out
they
like you did.
Not
well, some people are unable
people.
To get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Why they're
that's,
playing quick
you got
to
stomach that.
No,
I mean,
no.
Well, he's,
no. I can't. I want. I when I was a kid, I really wanted to play in the NBA.
No,
but
no,
guess what? I
just no.
I can't
Listen,
do it.
Sean,
that's not what he's saying about though. He's saying quick play is specifically designed for the casual player without catering to the casual player in any way. Competitive is.
Okay.
Is created for the hardcore player.
But if you play, but I play.
And guess what? No lower players than ever are playing
not
both.
Playing
but I play a lot of quick play.
Yeah.
You're not seeing so, you're, it's not so bad that you're getting stomped all the time by pinnacle weapons.
But there's a lot of not forgotten and a lot of lunas.
So,
and,
apparently.
And that's because.
But there's a lot of last word and a lot of ace of spades. Like, that's not.
Apparently on console. It's
okay, I guess that's true. I have to caveat this with that I don't play on consoles.
Apparently on console, Not Forgotten is clear and above the gun, above even Ace of Spades.
Because of the hit reg.
Because of the aim
hit
assist.
Reg
and hit reg
and aim assist. And
apparently,
that's what I was saying.
That's what I've been told.
It does feel a little bit different. But, and that's what I'm saying. Like, what Destin's saying is that when you're not playing comp and then you're getting smashed by people in quick play, because you're not
you
playing comp,
you have nowhere to
good.
Play.
Yeah,
all
you're
right,
not able to get them.
Let me caveat this by saying, one, I don't play on console. Two, even in quick play, to be clear, I don't have any of these pinnacle weapons. I don't have Luna's Helm. I don't have Not Forgotten.
Yeah.
And I don't ever see myself like actually feeling oppressed by those weapons in a way.
And
In quick play, I
hear what you're saying, but I think there is a case.
So personally, I just don't think I have a problem with it. That's all.
Yeah. There's a case to be made that quick play maybe should be a mode where, or there should be another mode where. Yeah, it is. It is tricky. I can see both sides.
Yeah, like how do you ban stuff?
Really
like, okay, well, you know what? You know what else really whoops my ass in quick play? Any super. So let's just get rid of those while we're at it.
Oh no!
Like no class abilities.
But you have the ability to get those by playing PvE or just the game.
There actually is a mode that does all the stuff that you're talking about, Sean. It's called a Halo. So boot up your Xbox, fire up Halo, and it will meet all these wants. You have a level playing field, no overpowered weapons, and you can go from there.
Yeah.
Moving on, we had a question from Nate V, bringing the spice, bringing the controversy here. How do you think Destiny's player base will hold up during the next 2 months with the release of Anthem, Division 2, Apex Legends. Do you see Bungie updating some content?
This is an interesting
players
one.
Engaged. They need to, because there's a lot of competition right
this
now.
This is an interesting
gonna
one.
It's going to be really interesting.
Because right before Apex Legends, I would have said, I don't think Destiny's player base sees any significant drops. It might see some fluctuations, but no significant drops because of Anthem or Division.
Absolutely.
But now that Apex Legends
trifecta.
But now that Apex Legends is in the mix, I just have to go off my own experience here. The only game I want to play is Apex Legends right now. And that doesn't bode well for any of those games.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Like, I don't care who you are.
And I think for me as well, too, I mean, we were talking about how the audience for Anthem is a little bit different and the audience for Destiny Division are a little bit different. But for me personally, and we did know a little bit about this in the background because we signed NDA. Steve and I were actually there before it launched. It was weird to know that was in the mix and going like, my hype train for a lot of other things is very low.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of sitting here going, oh, I wonder what this is going to be like. But knowing the Respawn pedigree, I was like, it could be really good. It is
Season of the Drifter is 2 or 3 weeks away. It comes in March. I haven't heard anything about it. There's no marketing for it.
We'll hear it in the
2 weeks out?
Yeah, but here's
where's the hype train?
Okay, but just wait. Yeah. So on that note, what I do like about what
we're getting Thorn here.
Wait, it's not confirmed 2 weeks out.
Well, it's March.
It said March on
the
roadmap. It said March on the roadmap.
Right. Okay. Here's what I'll say about the way that Apex Legends did this. I like the fact that they were a very confident studio that knew that they had a lot of challenges releasing this game being under EA. I mean, there's a bunch of things that go along with, you know, the microtransaction sort of monetization thing and then it being free. And just the fact that, EA has other, you know, Battlefield still to come and Anthem still to come. It's really odd. But the strength of this game will outweigh all those negative things, I think. Mm-hmm. And, Destiny, I think, will be able to bring it back. But that's why I think they're not doing this. I think they're not hyping it up because it raises the expectation too high. And then you can be disappointed.
Here's my prediction.
Is it going to soft launch it?
Potentially.
Hey, Season of Drifter's out, everybody.
Well, but we
play
all
it, play it if you want.
Well, we all know it's coming, though, right? Yeah. So
here's my prediction.
I don't know when.
We are addicted to Apex Legends not because there's a quest to grind or there's weapons to obtain. It's just the gameplay itself is fun.
Yeah.
That is something. So my prediction is Destiny 2 is not going to suffer initially. Everyone's going to come back. Well, not everyone, but a large number of people are going to come back, run through the content, and then
bounce.
And then when you see the numbers like consistently after the launch, like a month after, you might have like, let's say 100 players. That's just a number. You might start to see that lower now not because the game is bad, but because there are so many other games out now that maybe if you don't feel like grinding the same thing over and over again, you want to hop into new content, aka Anthem, Division 2, Apex Legends, whatever. That's my prediction. I don't think they have to worry about initially.
Yeah.
It's just consistently after.
There's definitely a PvP there's definitely a PvP itch being scratched by Apex Legends.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. The PvE thing, you have Anthem now and Division 2 competing in that front. Mm-hmm. Destiny will definitely be able to manage to garner some interest there, but the problem is we devour their content so quick. Maybe that's like a week, and then we're sort of balancing all these other games within the mix. And I think that's going to be an interesting challenge that I haven't seen Bungie face before, not just Bungie versus Division. And if you'll remember, a lot of people played the crap out of Division at launch, and then they had some bad decision-making early on that sort of hurt it.
Case in point, I consider myself a really hardcore completionist of Destiny.
Yeah.
When Season of the Drifter launches, I'm going to run through all the content, going to do everything I can and get all the stuff I can. But whereas in the past before, I might have grinded for that title immediately, I might put it on the back burner and play some other games.
Exactly.
But if Trials was there the way that it was in D1 with some kind of weekend hook, I guarantee you would be back in.
What about Monday through Friday?
On the weekend.
Or Monday through
Thursday. No, but that's my point. I think that's the thing that's definitely missing.
I mean, like I said earlier, the reason why we're so addicted to Apex is the
just fun
the
to play.
PvP
man.
Gameplay is so good.
Yeah.
And I have honestly
still hasn't gotten that magic.
I honestly have not felt that since Trials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're all adamant that I think whatever, I mean, I know we probably won't get it with Joker's Wild, but I mean, well, maybe we will, but like if it's a hybrid between like a big campaign oriented thing that expands the story, but then also this weekly hook that is more gameplay focused, that's fun to do and play, as opposed to just grinding things to get the things you have to check the boxes off in your collections. That's what games like Apex Legends are doing right now. It's like, I couldn't care at all what I'm collecting or anything like that. There's nothing to collect, really. Like, I mean, you can get skins and stuff, cosmetics, yeah, but like that just makes you look cool or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone plays it because it's awesome and fun and competitive, and every situation is different. Like, Destiny needs that.
And Destiny, like, created that. That's what's crazy, is that Trials kind of created that. And, well, Sean, we were playing with a random when we won that time, and it felt amazing. And have you played and got wins with people that you don't know yet?
I've gotten two wins playing solo with people I don't know, and we're all ecstatic when it happens. And it's really nice
because
I play with players who are really good, but playing with players at my level and coming out with, like, 4 or 5 kills, it feels awesome. It feels like I'm contributing.
Here's another thing.
We did it together.
Have you noticed that this game doesn't appear to be very toxic?
No, but
like,
that's
I had
point.
One team that was toxic.
Okay.
My entirety.
That,
every
no,
like,
my point.
Chat, except on PC.
Yeah, but like every random I've played with, even the ones who have my, yeah, all the, good. One of them, I mean, most of them have mics. One, that's good. And then two, like they tend to be like, hey, do you need ammo?
Play,
I got some extra stuff for you. It's really crazy.
To play devil's advocate, Overwatch and League weren't toxic in the first week they launched.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's and there's something to be said for that. I know we're all hyping about this. There are a bunch of things that I think cater to playing with a mic, playing without a mic. The ping system is amazing. It's really well designed. But
they innovated in the space.
They innovated in that space. But you're right. I think there's something to be said about even I can feel myself meeting people in this game for real after playing with them, and we have a good play session.
Whereas,
and
like,
I've never
played Dota, never want to meet a Dota player in real life. Seriously.
If week one of Season of the Drifter is like, you can get Thorn again, come on, Guardians, let's get it.
So,
I'm going to be like, I'm good.
It's funny because having Apex Legends on the table really changes your perspective on a lot. Because before Apex Legends came out, I probably would have said, or maybe even did say, yeah, Thorn coming back, that would be pretty cool. Yeah. Now it's like it kind of underscores like how not cool that would be.
Oh, so I can go get Thorn, or I could do 8-player raids in Division 2, or I could be a flying robot spaceman killing enemies
in
Division 2, in Anthem, or I could be having a really amazing
PvP
experience
in Apex Legends.
I'm good. You can keep Thorn for a few weeks.
I'll get that later. Yeah.
Here's Destiny's strength. I think the Destiny brand is stronger than Apex Legends. It's got a little bit more pull than Titanfall.
Because it's a new IP.
I don't know.
Because here's the thing. We know this because Titanfall launched in between some massive titles last two times.
Okay, but
and
they have,
did not survive.
If you look at any of our comment sections for any of these episodes, Destiny is in turmoil still. They still have to get over the curse of Osiris.
I was going to say, like, when you're talking about brand, it's actually kind of tough to weigh stuff because, Destiny is more established for sure.
Yeah.
People know Destiny more
for
than
better
Apex
or
Legends.
For worse.
But I was going to say, like, they also, there's this stigma of Bungie long term in Destiny. There's also, but on the Apex Legends side, like, I saw a thread on Reddit
EA,
that was like,
I mean, that's a thing.
Where's all the EA hate now?
Yeah,
guys?
I know.
Like,
yes.
People love Apex Legends, so they're willing to forgive EA a little bit
more. What's interesting. That's what I'm looking at looking forward to see is like, Respawn, I think, has like carved this niche like a little bit outside of the EA brand. And will that kind of, if you're buying microtransactions in the game, do you feel like you're supporting EA or Respawn? And how does that affect the game?
Maybe I'm overhyping it right here, but I think Apex Legends becomes EA's brand. I think it's that good.
Oh, I've already seen their marketing on their channel. They're like, we got a hit. We need to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think EA had any idea how much of a hit this was going to be. Like, I'm sure they had some sense.
When you came back from the event, I know this is sort of becoming Apex Legends chat, by the way.
But you can't just say it's Respawn.
I'm like, it's Titanfall, but with no Titans, no wall running, none of the core mechanics. I don't know, man. The characters are sort of weird looking. Then I played one game.
Yeah.
One game, and I'm like, I get it. I'm in.
And that's all I needed to say. I was like, trust me. The first thing people say is, there's no Titans, there's no double jumping, there's no wall running. I'm not into it. And I'm like, trust me.
Like,
we said those same things. Yeah. You need to play it. You need to play it together with somebody, you will believe how good
it is. In 2018, 2019, when you take a look at EA's portfolio, what are the games that really stand out that they didn't, according to the internet?
Nothing.
Like Rune, right? You had a huge, awesome, engaged fan base with Mass Effect, right? But then you had Andromeda. People love Star Wars. People love the original Battlefront, but then we got Battlefront 2 and the microtransactions thing killed it, and then it never recovered.
Yeah.
They canceled every other Star Wars game except for Respawns. So like basically all of their major franchises minus like FIFA and stuff are in kind of not great spots. So with a hit like Apex Legends, I see EA Suits being like, all focus on this, all marketing on this, like that blow it up.
Wreck what it is. And that's the thing that's the thing that scares me, because Titanfall 2, I've said this many times, that was one of my favorite campaign games and I played the crap out of that game. I hope it doesn't turn into, all right, sweet, we got the cash cow. Let's just strangle the life out of it.
I don't think that'll happen because like
we already have Fortnite games. For that.
Yeah. Fortnite, the Fortnite revenue model is just like skins and emotes and such like that.
Yeah.
And if that's all they're going to do, I don't need any of that stuff. So I don't care.
As long as it doesn't change the gameplay. Yeah.
Plus they have a system in game to just earn and pay to unlock stuff. It's fantastic.
Pretty good.
So here's a Fortnite question for you. I don't play Fortnite, so I don't actually know the details on this, but all the stuff that you can collect or buy through microtransactions.
Yeah.
Is all of that cosmetic?
It's literally everything in Fortnite is cosmetic.
But none of it affects the gameplay.
Well, there are emotes.
The animation of the emotes.
Yeah.
It's you like, can lay down in a bathtub.
There's an emote where you do a jumping jack and like there's a video of him dodging it. Dodging the
yeah,
because he like the timed the backflip at the come like that. Yeah. That doesn't affect you.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not. It doesn't give you a competitive advantage. That's what.
If anything, it was hilarious to see the emo do a backflip and him dodge a bullet. But like, it's not like, oh my god, he's shooting me. I'm gonna backflip. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's style points.
I think that's a good ending point, guys. So I do want to give a general show note about next week. We might be doing things a little bit differently next week. You're still going to get a show. Audio listeners, we may not put out the audio because we're probably going to do a sort of Let's Play. Our friends at PlayStation are having us do a little something for Crimson Days. Crimson Doubles.
Yeah.
And Steven and I are likely going to be playing. CJ is gone. Sean, I think you're a little bit busy, but maybe you can hop on some CD with us.
I would love to.
Yeah, let's take turns.
Yeah, I'd love to be on. But yeah. I want to take this opportunity to tell you, if you are one of those audio listeners, now would be a great time to head on over to youtube.com/fireteamchat and watch the video, because it'll be cool. You'll see our beautiful big faces.
And then
actually see who's good at PvP.
Get him after. And then episode 200.
That's right.
Coming up. So hopefully we have a couple little special things planned for that one.
You won't want to miss that one.
Yeah, not
Destiny
next week,
3.
The week after.
Yeah. Destiny 3 announcement. Exclusively on Fireteam.
I had a lot of fun with this question.
Yeah,
so I think
great. Always for sure reach out to the community.
So, thank you, everybody. If you have any questions, leave them in the comments below. Maybe we'll use them on episode 200. And that's it for this week's episode. So until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.